Today we begin a new four-part series, and I'm looking forward to it because it'll be helpful for us to consider or reconsider what it means to belong to a church family. Throughout this series, many of you are going to be reminded about benchmarks or practices in your lives. Some of them will still have a lingering impact. Others you may have forgotten about or maybe neglected. But all of them are vital aspects of our continual development to be genuine followers of Jesus Christ. Another reason I'm looking forward to this series is that some of us need a little reminder about what it means to be the church. You know, some of us have grown out of the practice of attending a church service, and we may miss it. However, attending a church service and belonging to the church, that is belonging to God's kingdom movement with a community of people of shared faith, is very different than simply attending a service. Putting a piece of metal in a garage doesn't make it a car. Putting a bag of flour into the oven doesn't make it bread or cake. I prefer cake. Sitting in a church building doesn't mean you belong to the church. You see, we're not talking about becoming a church goer. We're talking about belonging to a church family, about seeing changing lives, that is yours, life being changed by God, help change the lives of others around you. In this series, we're going to look at the ongoing importance of four areas in building and belonging to the church. Baptism and communion, that's today. Next week, we'll discuss the topic of communication with God or prayer. On November 15th, Patrick Turvey, our ministry intern, will bring us some teaching on stewardship, and then we'll conclude by looking at the significance of serving. Each week, in addition to our main teaching video, we will be posting some follow-up pieces of the message throughout the week. Our hope is to get you thinking about these topics more consistently throughout each week. In fact, each week we will have some practical ideas or action steps for you to consider or either begin to further develop in your relationship with Jesus. We also know that during this time of COVID, there have been a number of challenges for your attention. Some people have done well to stay engaged and connected with a church family, whether that's ours or somebody else's. Others have seen these months go by and found themselves drifting away from a church family. This is not just an SEMC thing. In fact, many churches are feeling this. Being closed to gatherings for a while and then being limited to 30% capacity is a challenge. So some people are choosing to make a move to other places. I want you to know that's okay if you're feeling that way. It's a bummer for us, but it's okay. But don't slip away quietly. We'd love to know so that we can thank you for your previous commitment to the SEMC. And so that we can bless you as you participate with another church family. Let me also say this. We know that this time has been an opportunity for those of you, some of you who are curious about what it means to follow Jesus and what it means to belong to a kingdom-minded church family. We also want to hear from you. We'd love to help you. We'd love to pray for you, learn with you, and learn from you, no matter where you live. Wherever you are, you may well be the beginning of a new lighthouse, a home church, a mission community or outpost that reflects the essence of what we as the SEMC are doing. And we'd love to welcome you into our church family. This series is for young and old. This series is for those near and far. It's for those who are well-versed in participating with the church family and for those who need a reminder about the great privilege that we have. And perhaps it's also for those who have been turned off, bored by, or hurt by a previous church experience. As we get ready to restart our in-person gatherings at the end of November, this series is a great way for us all to prepare. So let's start. You know, symbols convey meaning. The water of baptism is a symbol, like, you know, a team jersey or a logo. It's a symbol that declares whose side we're on, whose cause we support, and who we believe will win. The water is a symbol that compels us to identify with Jesus and pursue the path of righteousness and uphold the victory that he has already won on our behalf. It's not a symbol that my life is perfect or that I have it all together. It's an acknowledgement that of my sinful condition, and it signifies a commitment to follow the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus. But let me be clear on this. To belong to the family of God requires that we accept the free gift of salvation by declaring our faith in Jesus Christ. You can sit in on a church service, you can be familiar with the Bible, you can consider yourself a good person, you can even wear a cross around your neck, you can even feel connected to or associated with a particular church building. But none of those things bridges the divide between us and God apart from our acceptance, acknowledgement of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That must come first. Baptism is distinct then from salvation. It's not a requirement for salvation. However, baptism is commanded of God. Baptism together with communion are the two tangible ways in which our God instructs believers to publicly identify with him. They are the observable symbols of our lives by which we communicate to one another that we belong to the family of God. There are three life-changing reasons why believers in Jesus Christ are commanded to be baptized. The first is to identify with Jesus. You see, his example here for us in the book of Matthew, in fact, in all four books of the Gospels, before anything else was to take place in Jesus' earthly ministry, he was baptized. This act left within the pages of Scripture, as I mentioned, is included in all four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so that we might grasp the importance of baptism. It was a priority that was also lived out in the early church, as we observed in our recent series through the book of Acts called Propulsion. The early church never conceived of a believer in Jesus Christ remaining unbaptized. When someone made a decision to follow Jesus, their next step, even before eating a meal, was to symbolize that inner personal decision by being baptized, declaring their faith. The major biblical evidence for baptism is that it is an act that comes after a declaration of faith in Jesus. But I know about God, you say. You see, a knowledge of God isn't enough. The Bible says that even the devil believes in God, but he shudders. However, when we, by faith, acknowledge that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, then we are changed. Our lives begin changing permanently. When you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved, is the promise that God gives. And in that moment of belief, we begin a process of transformation. And anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Our lives begin changing. God gives you the gift of the Holy Spirit who begins to work in you. You become a changing life that is then commissioned to help others change their lives. Changing lives change lives. Baptism, which literally means to be immersed in water, is a physical, practical, and symbolic demonstration of that inward change. Baptism signifies my desire to no longer live for my own glory, but to live for the glory of God. But why did Jesus get baptized? Great question. Thanks for asking. Jesus is saying to John that he knows that it doesn't make sense that the sinless Son of God should need to be baptized with the baptism for the confession of sin. But in order to fully identify with those people and with us, Jesus in humility is willing to be baptized. And I know that there are some of you who have made a decision to accept Christ as your Savior, but you're resistant. You've delayed or downplayed following through with baptism. Let me encourage you to demonstrate Christ-like humility. Baptism is not a declaration of perfection. It's a benchmark on your journey of life that can never be taken away. It becomes a symbolic marker where you can look back and recognize the power of Jesus compelling you to follow him. And it helps others to encourage you and to keep you accountable to growing in your relationship with God. Now notice secondly, that baptism aligns us with the will of God and the desire of God. In this moment, as Jesus is about to initiate his formal earthly ministry, God's voice is heard, a voice that reassures him, a voice that encourages him, and a voice that gives him identity, an identity that is not based on what he has done, but simply on who he is. This is my son whom I love, in him I am well pleased. The act of baptism is a declaration of the priority of this relationship to God as Father. To be loved and appreciated is something that so many people want. To be reminded that we are loved and valued, we so need. Baptism is the beginning of understanding the personal affection that God has for us. Unfortunately, too many people stop there, including good church-going people. We get satisfied with a past decision made rather than continuing to develop and putting in the continual effort toward a journey of discipleship as followers of Jesus. The third life-changing reason is that baptism is empowered by the Spirit. Another enduring symbol is that of a dove. The dove also means peace. The symbolic presence of the Holy Spirit at the baptism of Jesus is another demonstration of the unmatched significance of this act. The example of Jesus the Son, the pleasure of God the Father, and the enveloping peaceful presence of the Holy Spirit, the three in one. When we choose to be baptized, we're stepping into the coming together of the Trinity. We enter into God's story as we set out to discover our story. Bringing us back to that benchmark of baptism is so important. Being able to recognize the difference that the life of Jesus is making gives us encouragement and brings us to points of confession so that we can persevere as followers of Jesus. The means by which this happens is often through communion. So let's now take a look at the significance of communion as it relates to belonging to a church family. Communion, or the Eucharist, or the Lord's Supper, they involve symbols and the means by which, and they form a means by which we continually reset ourselves along the journey of life. At first, the Lord's Supper was an entire meal that Christians shared in their home. Each guest brought a dish to the common table. The meal began with a prayer and then the eating of small pieces from a single loaf of bread. The meal closed with another prayer and the sharing of a cup of wine, which represented the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Our most prolific instructions regarding the observance of communion comes in 1 Corinthians 11. Paul writes about the fact that there are divisions between people because whenever there are people, you're going to have division. There's going to be sin, pride, and personal preference continually colliding. Communion, however, is centering ourselves on Jesus and his example to us. And it's a prescription to strive for unity amid the diversity. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul writes about four unifying characteristics of communion. He writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So let's talk about these four unifying characteristics of communion. The first, the observance of the Lord's Supper is a command. Like baptism, communion is a means by which God tells us, instructs us to demonstrate our allegiance for Jesus. By participating in this communal act, we declare our personal commitment to following Jesus as Lord and Savior together with others of shared faith. Secondly, the bread is a symbol of Jesus' body. At the time, it would have been unleavened bread, but remember, it's symbolic of his life and his physical body. The symbol of bread should bring to mind the way in which Jesus lived, loved, served, and sacrificed. As we enter into God's story, we retrace the steps of Jesus' life. It should then bring us to the cross where his brutalized body was hung and humiliated to the point of death. Thirdly, the cup is a symbol of the new covenant in his blood. Notice the distinction. It's not just as a symbol of his blood, but the promise of what is yet to come. Again, from a practical standpoint, we're not told whether it was wine or juice, because both were used with regularity in that culture. Our engagement in this symbol signifies agreement with the sacrifice of Jesus for all people, and that through the shedding of his blood, we receive forgiveness for our sin. Fourthly, the proclamation is a personal identification with Jesus. As participants in communion, you look back to the cross and recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You also look to the empty tomb and through the cross to the present work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And then you look forward to the return of Christ, which will bring into completion the salvation plan of God for the whole world. It's a proclamation of hope, a declaration of perseverance, and a reaffirmation of commitment to following Jesus. But now catch this. This process of communion is so important that the Apostle Paul asks us to give careful consideration to it before we consider participating. Look further down in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27, it says this, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." That's heavy. And so here's some good questions to ask yourself. Am I guilty of sinning against the body of the Lord? That is, do I have a clear testimony of faith in Jesus Christ? Have I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior? Have I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord? Do I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead? You see, it's an agreement with God about my sin, its penalty, and his solution, the gift of salvation, the life we receive in Jesus. Have I been baptized to declare this faith in Jesus? If not, then let's move forward on that. Take that step. If you have, take time to remember the significance of the events that led to that decision and how your life needs to keep changing to be like Jesus. Here's another audit question. Do I have a commitment to the family of God? A good question to ask is, Lord, show me what needs to be made right between myself and others. And then be willing to follow through as a first priority. Communion is the way in which we unite as a church family around the mission that God has called us to pursue. Are we regularly evaluating our sin? You know, a failure to examine our lives or a failure to deal with sin that is resident in our lives opens us up to a hardening of our spirit to the things of God. We can then rationalize sinful tendencies, and then we can view others with judgment or indifference. Communion is important. In conclusion, let me say this. To belong to a church family begins with a declaration of faith in Jesus that is affirmed through baptism and an ongoing participation in communion. Our prayer at the SEMC is for men and women, boys and girls, to enter into a relationship with Jesus. We're not looking for decisions, but disciples that begin with those decisions. We're not looking for churchgoers, but for difference makers whose changing lives will change the lives of those around them, all for the glory of God. And we're excited by what that means. And so if there is a point of action for you based on what we've talked about, and we can be of help with that, would you connect with us or maybe somebody else that you know who belongs to our church family already? We'd love to walk with you through this time. We look forward to hearing from you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for his life given so that we might live. Thank you, Father, for the hope that that renews in us day by day as we take time to be mindful, to remember. And God, may we be those who are quick to say, Jesus is Lord. That we remind ourselves, sometimes we need to hear ourselves say it, don't we? Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord. He is our Lord. He is risen from the dead. And he lives and he's coming again. God, renew us in that truth. And use us for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.